go to Big Pete. He's in line right now at Xfinity Theater. A mass for CT, I hear, has begun. It was supposed to start at 7, but the line got so long, they're going to roll him through now. Hey, Pete.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Yes, the line has just started to go. They're going through a big parking lot. There's a lot of people here.
Yeah,
I heard. I am in line. I am in line right now receiving my mask.
All right.
As we speak.
What time did you show up? Where were you in line?
I showed up at 5. I don't know where
so
I was.
So 2 hours early. What motivated you to get there so early that, why?
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry, guys. What's that?
Yeah, what motivated you? What's the motivation to get
there
for 2 hours, 2 hours early?
How about staying alive? I don't want to catch this thing.
There you go, see?
Right. So do you have any underlying medical conditions that you're concerned about?
No, nah, I smoke pot, so that kills everything.
Oh, there you go. See?
Oh, okay.
So you had some already.
Are you in that age group, 60 plus, 65 plus?
Negative.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Are you heavy? I'm guessing Big Pete, you'd be big.
I'm a big 6'4", 300.
Okay.
Okay, yes.
All right, I'm just checking why someone would get there 2 hours early to get a mask.
Besides stay alive.
Just because it's for safety precautions, and I got nothing else to do.
Yeah, all right, gotcha. Do you have a job?
Negative.
Gotcha.
I am disabled.
Oh, okay.
Bad bike wipeout and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, sorry about that, yeah.
Oh, all right, gotcha. All right, man. So did you get your mask? Did you go through already?
Yes, I already received them, and I'm on the main road, and this thing is backed up forever.
The thing is, opened it up and they opened it early, this thing is going to, because you're basically driving right through, so we'll catch up and it'll
be
great.
It was smart that they opened it early because there's a lot of people, and this thing is going to be going, and they're going to 1 o'clock?
They're going to go to 1 o'clock, but I have a feeling they may run out before them. We'll have
to check. The line just ended. The line just ended at the Citgo station on Market Street.
Okay.
That's how long the line is.
The long line.
Crazy.
But DOJ chase.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in. Appreciate
it. Good morning.
All right.
Yep, thanks.
You too, man.
Good
morning.
Hey, Angela. So I'm guessing you already went through.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm actually social distancing with Drew. Say hi to Drew.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Drew.
Next to me. The line is coming in off of Weston Street. It's two lanes, one way. They're directing everybody that way, and they're going into the large parking lot, like that gentleman said. You do a large loop around. There's multiple people there with masks in their hands, plastic bags full of masks, and they're just throwing them in the back of the windows, throwing them in the trunks, and they're streaming everybody along.
Yeah.
I got to give credit to the police officer here in the intersection. There's one police officer by himself, and he's got this thing locked down. The traffic is moving very swiftly. There's congestion, but it's moving accordingly.
Yeah, Hartford Police handling this free of charge.
Yep.
And
one guy by himself in the middle of an a four-way intersection.
He's out of the ace. Yep.
With, thousands, maybe over 10,000 people showing up. We got 50,000 masks, 5 masks per car.
Yeah, 10,000 cars, yep.
I'm actually giving my mask away. I go to Stop and Shop sometimes in the morning, and there's an elderly couple that go in there once in a while. There's a husband and wife, and they got some kind of makeshift clothing across their face.
Oh, wow.
I already have one of my own masks. I got an N99 mask, which has reusable inserts.
Nice.
So why were you in line for a mask?
Well, I got the mask. I'm going to give them away.
Okay, very good.
I'm going to give them
to someone who wouldn't be able to get up there.
Like Robin Hood, yeah.
Well, I underestimated this. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. When they said we were going to be part of this Mass for Connecticut, Mass for CT, and be handed out masks at Xfinity Theater on a working morning starting at 7 a.m. in Hartford, I thought, okay.
Couple of cars.
I didn't know. Cars started lining up at 4:15 this morning, and the lines both directions got so long that the police said, you got to start right now. We got to start getting these cars out.
Chop, chop, now do it.
And so they're rolling the cars through right now. It's going to move fast now that cars are going through. You don't have to get out of your car. You just drive right through. A volunteer will walk the masks up to you, put it in your trunk, put it in your car. Their mask. So 50,000 masks being handed out for free right now. Xfinity Theater. It's going until 1 or when they run out. 5 masks per car or person. And thanks to Bob and Amy Stefanowski, the Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven, Pratt & Whitney, United Concrete, Hartford Police, Last Parking, Live Nation, Channel 3, and, of course, PLR and the Fox for being a sponsor. Kendall.
Hey.
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 Hey. I'm with Bob Stefanowski right now.
Excellent. Put him on, please.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Bob?
Good morning.
What an event.
Yeah,
man, we had to open early. The line was so long, but we're moving them quick. We got 2 lines. We got 10 servers, and you drive up, we throw it right in the window, and you move on.
Nice.
Have the window open, obviously.
Yeah, try punting them in the window.
Right. Hey, go for accuracy.
I used to be a pitcher, so I'll throw them in there.
Oh,
but
nice.
A lot of nice people out here. Just a great thing to do. And I know there's a bit of a line, but just trust us. We're doing our best to get everybody through. We got 10,000 bags. Hopefully it'll last. And we're thinking of doing a couple more of these, Chaz. We'd like to do one in New Haven because I know there's a lot of people up in that area.
Sign us up.
So if you can't come out today, we'll probably be doing one in New Haven. But people are just incredibly grateful to get these things. And thanks for your partnership. We're seeing a lot of members of the tribe out here. My favorite group, so it's terrific.
It's our honor. We get a lot of goodwill for the stuff we do, but this is one of the examples where we really don't do anything.
Nope.
We're just proud to be a part of it.
Just kind of hanging
out.
Yeah. You know, thanks to you and Amy for starting this, and, you know, you did it covertly for as long as you could, and then you were outed by the media putting your own money into it. But now folks can go to massforct.org and donate if they'd like to help.
Yeah, if they keep donating, we can get more of these events done. So I would really appreciate that. We're about to cross 1 million. Between the time we started and the end of this week, we're going to be at 1 million masks handed out in Connecticut.
How much are the masks, if you don't mind me asking?
They're 75 cents each.
So that's $750,000 in masks.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's... And I picked them all in my truck, box by box.
Nice, see? That's a hell of a truck you got there. You need a couple of tie-downs, obviously.
Yeah. My back is never going to be the same, but it's a great cause.
Had to hit the cap off.
I know you have to move the cars through quickly, but have you been hearing any stories from the folks in line?
Well, the most interesting one is where you got 2 kids in the back seat. And you see the kids and you see them take the mask out of the bag and throw them on the kids.
Right.
We had one woman last week, sad story. She drove up. She said her brother-in-law died from Corona. And she was almost crying, thanking us for what we're going to do. There's just so many stories out there. You know, we've talked about it before. Nurses, they don't have enough masks. So they're putting them in a paper bag at the end of every night. They're putting their name on it. These are supposed to be disposable masks, and they're using them 3-4 days a week. I mean, I could go on forever. Nursing homes, where you got the caregivers going into infected nursing homes. Think of the courage it takes to do that. You know you're going into a high-risk situation, and they don't have any masks. So we've been delivering a lot to nursing homes. But, you know, we're doing what we can.
I mean, a week ago, I felt uncomfortable just walking into a supermarket without a mask.
Yep.
Imagine walking into a nursing home or a hospital or an ER or
a breeding ground, yeah.
So these aren't the N95. They're one level down.
Yeah, we're saving the N95s for nurses, doctors, people that are really in high-risk situations. So we didn't want to limit the supply to first responders. A lot of people in the hospitals actually put these over the N95s to make them last longer, but we didn't want to choke the supply chain. So these are level 1 surgical masks, and they're adequate. They're FDA approved. They're perfect for people in the community.
Oh, that's awesome.
That'll work.
Hey, man, really nice work. Is Amy there with you?
Yeah, she's handing out. She does the good part. I'm sourcing, and I raise money. She gets to hand them out and get all the gratitude. So she's up there in the line. But if you call later, I'll have her come on if you got time later.
Very good. We will do that. We'll get back to work, Bob. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thanks to you guys. Thanks to the tribe. You've been tremendous. We wouldn't be doing this without you and the tribe. I really appreciate it.
Okay. I think you would have been. Right?
We'll take that.
It sounds good. Bob Stefanowski live at Xfinity Theater, Masks for CT. Free masks, and for as long as they last, it's scheduled to go until 1, but it sounds like they're going pretty fast right now.
Yep.
Jazz and AJ News.
Masks for CT happening now at Xfinity Theater in Hartford. It's supposed to open right now. They opened it up around 6:15. The lines were just so long. There's a great demand for masks in Connecticut, but I had no idea. So it's going to go until 1 o'clock or until they run out. 50,000 masks being handed out, 5,000 per person. You don't have to get out of your car. Masked volunteers will bring them right to your car, drop it in. The line's moving pretty fast now.
Yep.
Cars started lining up so early, which speaks to the situation we're in with masks. So thanks to Bob and Amy Stefanowski, the Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven, Pratt & Whitney, United Concrete, Hartford Police, Last Parking, Channel 3, Live Nation, and of course, Connoisseur Media.
You're all good people.
Thank you.
I was choked up.
Yeah. Tom G is on the show now. What is this deal with flyover?
Hey, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
So listen, the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds are going to do like an America Strong event, which is to show support for the hardest hit areas of the virus. And it's going to start at noon. They're going to start at the George Washington. They're going to do the New York metro area. Then it looks like they're going to – I'm looking at the flight plan. Then it looks like they're going to fly out towards MacArthur. Looks like they're going to bang a left right before MacArthur Airport and head up over Stanford. Put the flight path right over Stanford, Greenwich, White Plains, and away they go to the next area of the country.
Greenwich. Was Greenwich hit that hard?
No, I think they're just hitting the top of Greenwich, and they're really, looks like, if you look at the flight plan, it looks like they're aiming to go right through the center of White Plains.
Did they not want to fly over Westport?
Probably not, no.
I don't know. Listen, this is their route. Doesn't have waypoints, so I couldn't tell you exactly.
Gotcha.
It's not like they say this time we'll be over this city. They just have a general map of the area.
I wonder if they were going to fly over Westport, and Westport was like, not in my neighborhood.
For God's sake!
I don't want no planes over my neighborhood.
I can't hear my television and watch Netflix. For God's sake!
The Price is Right is on.
You're scaring my gardener!
I mean, the last time we had jets over the area, it was a pretty serious situation.
That was 9/11?
Yeah, it's the last time I saw jets like that, you know.
And that's when they were patrolling for bad guys. That was an eerie feeling. Jets on patrol over America.
Yeah. So once again, this is not in the same situation, but it certainly is a dire situation. And this is a little pick-me-up to the folks out there getting it done. And people are suffering. People are going to be out in the streets. You know, they're out in the, they open all those streets in New York City and whatnot. So people now be out there in the open and people be able to enjoy it. Maybe just a little uplifting. Nothing like seeing jets.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Information, whole nine yards.
Yeah, it is pretty neat.
Young Chaz is an EMT, and he's just been, I don't want to use the word deployed, but will be going to New York City to help out. He's going to be doing 911 calls and transfers to kind of relieve the ambulance staff there. You've done this for many, many years. Do you have any advice?
He's going to learn a lot. He's going to see some things that he never saw before. There's a lot of interesting characters down there, as you can imagine. I actually had talked to him on the phone a couple weeks ago about this, told him kind of what to expect. I said, the call volume will be intense, and you'll see some stuff you never saw before. So I think for a young man like him, he's probably going to really enjoy it.
Tell us the first, or you know, a time in your mind that sticks out where you're like, I've never seen this before.
Oh,
putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, can you say it?
You are.
Have you ever had a call where someone had their penis stuck in something?
I didn't have that. I had a call where somebody put a small flashlight in an area that they shouldn't.
Where the sun don't shine.
It's for nighttime vision.
Right. That's the light at the end of the tunnel.
And the best part was when we got him to the ER, you know, you as a crew, you go in with your patient. And an interesting one, sometimes you follow your patient into the room to see the attending physician. And I know he took a look. He asked, you know, he did his normal workup, and then he took a look. He spread the part where it was. I'm not going to say where it was, and a flashlight kind of shined back at him. So it was interesting.
Nice.
It was on.
It was still on. That's good. That's good. That's good battery power.
Was right his butt like a nightlight or what? Like shiny orange?
He didn't say butt. He never said butt.
Oh.
He just said it was a part of the body.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. So that's a mild story. I have worse ones that I would say maybe after I retire.
Yeah.
Write a book.
Over a beer or something.
Write a book.
You know.
All right. What about, like, how about a kid getting his head stuck in a fence? Have you ever had to, like, take the grinder
banisters
out?
Yeah.
The banisters.
Yeah.
I've
had children with their heads stuck through the slats of their crib.
Oh.
See?
We've had it through playground equipment, various pieces of playground equipment.
Hold on. AJ said C. Why? Has this happened to you?
No, but you hear about it all the time with the kids. Oh. They put their head through and then they can't pull their head back.
I thought you were saying C. Like, see, it happens.
Yeah, no.
That would have been
great.
I wasn't
the only one.
It's not just me.
Now, I wouldn't put my head in places. Other parts, yes.
I had a couple with their hands stuck in gumball machines.
I've done that.
Yeah, so vending machines, soda machines, the equipment on the playground, quite a few cribs, some fences, wrought iron fence. Somebody did one there. So, yeah, there's been a...
You know, we've had a lot of conversations with folks who... not conversations, but stories in Dumbass News where criminals were trying to get in through the chimney. Have you had any of those?
I haven't had somebody stuck in a chimney. My crew had one where somebody was, they were doing a chimney repair, and so they removed the whole brick chimney, like part of it, and the homeowner was cleaning around it, you know, because the guy's kind of left a mess, and the whole thing slid down and trapped the homeowner.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's like a cartoon.
That's come off the bill.
Yeah. I don't know why they thought it would just levitate there.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a piece of, it's like a walking chimney, a chimney with two legs.
Exactly. Gravity works.
Right.
Yeah.
And after it was cool.
It was, they did a great job. It was pretty technical because if they did it wrong, more of it could come down on top of the victim, and they got him out, and he was injured pretty good, but I think he let the guys know that he made it through and they fixed him up and he was appreciated.
He should have, probably, yes.
And then when doctors, the ER staff can't figure something out, they call the fire department. Can you remember one time where you were called to the ER because they couldn't figure out how to get someone untrapped from something?
I haven't had to. My crew a couple years ago had to. They needed our equipment and the expertise basically to run it because they wouldn't know how to run it. Go to the ER and remove. Somebody had taken a nut, like a half-inch nut, and they twisted it down on their finger. I don't know if this was a child or an adult because I wasn't there, but for some reason, and it was locked down there, and they could not get it off.
Could reverse the thread, yep.
We had to cut it off.
I've done that before.
Have you?
Yeah. But I didn't have to go to the ER. It came off.
Right. You freak out me off.
Yeah.
This one, the finger was, what happened was blood got past it, and it got all blue and purple and swollen. Once it's swollen past it, you're not getting it off.
No.
It's done.
Ew.
And they had to cut it off.
Yeah. How many years have you been a firefighter?
I'm just in year 34.
Wow. And you guys are good with masks and things you need?
Our department is really good with protecting us. So we do have a mask order. We have to wear them 24/7 in the station. We have to get checked in, temperature, and you have to have your mask on. You have to hand sanitize. You have to sanitize after every call. We have the N95s for when we're doing patient care, and then a regular mask in the firehouse. And we're pretty good. And the department is now participating in a program where we're handing them out to residents as well, in various parts of the city. So that's some of that is going on today.
That's great. We've mentioned on the air that you had COVID.
I did. Yeah, I had it.
Right.
Yep. I was one of the early ones.
Can I tell you? Can I talk about the weekend right before you discovered you had it? What you did?
Don't do that.
Really? It's that good. Huh?
God! Now I want to know.
Oh man!
Everybody was locking down. Chief
Tom G was locking down too.
Yeah.
All right, so a flyover today over Stanford from 12:15 to 12:35, somewhere in between there.
Yeah. It starts at noon at the George Washington Bridge. Mm. It looks like they're flying over. They're doing a metro area, flying over Long Island at 12:20 or so. Stanford Greenwich area, 12:30. I'm guessing these things move pretty fast. And by 12:40, they're going to take a turn through White Plains and head out over the ocean. So if you're in the area, keep a lookout.
Amazing. That's going to be television camera friendly, so I won't be able to make it out there, but I'll be watching for it later on TV. The Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels flying over Stanford today to support the folks most hard hit by coronavirus.
Should be neat. And hopefully we can get a Chaz report and see how the young man's doing down there.
Yeah, we're gonna check in with him at 7:30 and just kind of go over things with him. And
I think we should get an occasional update. I think his first day will be impactful.
Right. That's a good idea.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's see what he can say. And
you know, instead of McGilla out in the field, we'll have young Chaz telling us what happened.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it, brother.
Very good, brother. Take care.
So I was supposed to talk to young Chaz at 7:30. It is 7:32 right now.
He's in the shower.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I figured he set his alarm for 7:28.
Right.
Right. He works on the ambulance for AMR, and he's going to go into New York City for a few weeks, maybe a month, to help them with 911 calls and transfers to relieve the pressure on the EMTs in New York City.
Nice.
And I'm like, ooh, all right. Yeah, I'm very, very proud, but at the same time, a little nervous.
Of course.
Jennifer's on. You used to work the ambulance.
Yes. Yes, I did a long time ago, before I was a nurse.
And what was that like?
I remember the very first call that I was on, and I was 20 years old, and we were going to a five-car pileup on 95. And I remember the ambulance, like, I was in the back, I was in the jump seat, and I just remember thinking, I'm like, I'm going to pass out, and I'm going to vomit right here. I'm like, oh, my God, I just was terrified. And then the cool thing is that you're standing in the middle of 95, you're standing in the middle of 95, you know, and all the traffic is stopped. And I'm like, wow, when would you ever think you're going to be standing in the middle of 95? That was pretty cool.
And then your partner said, hey, we got work to do.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Stop daydreaming.
What are you doing over there?
Standing in the middle of the road? What's the matter with you?
Are you drunk with chalk?
trying not to barf.
Yeah.
No, but it was an adrenaline rush, and it definitely showed me that it was something that I wanted to do more of in my life. You know, you get some smaller calls and you get some bigger calls. I remember one time getting a call of an elderly lady that had fallen in a restaurant, and we get there, and this restaurant had, like, the bar was, like, kind of a raised bar, so you had to take a step up to get into the bar area.
Yeah.
And this elderly lady was walking with her daughter, and the little lady's holding her glass of wine with her little eyeglasses on, and she didn't realize there was a step down. So she face planted, and she was on blood thinner, so she clearly had a fractured nose.
Ah,
oh, no.
Ah, blood thinner. That's just blood everywhere.
It was really bad. And the lenses of the glasses lacerated her eye. You know, she was a mess, the poor thing.
She fell on the salad bar.
The best thing about that call is that she was still holding on to her wine glass.
Of course.
She
paid.
That broken wine glass.
You don't let that go.
Put her hand around the stem.
That's good. I got to give her some points for that.
That was a weapon. That's why.
I'm like, you go, Granny. She's like in her 80s.
Yeah.
Cut you.
Hey, Granny, I hope that wine was red.
That was
originally.
It was white.
It was white. Then it was red.
Well, it's Pinot Grigio now.
Have you ever had anyone hit on you from the stretcher? Like they're on the stretcher?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter when people are sick. They're still, you know, men will be men. And I've had a guy as sick as he was, and he was in a stretcher, and we're rolling him out, and he's like, hey, and I could see him reaching into his pocket, and I'm like, oh, God, please don't touch your no-no zone in front of me. I'm good.
And no-no zone.
No-no zone. No-no zone. I'm just trying to get a lightsaber out.
He pulled his little beat-up business card, and he handed it to me, and he winked at me, and he's like, you should give me a call sometime. I'm like, okay.
All right. That's okay. Very good.
Yeah.
You know, there are times, though, we used to get this guy that would call all the time and complain of chest pain, and he lived in a high-rise apartment complex in Bridgeport. And we'd go up, and it's like, he was a frequent flyer. You get to know people, you know? And another chest pain call, we go there, and he answers the door, and this guy just loved being naked. He just answers the door, and he's like, hey, and he's got, like, one hand on his hip, and he's nodding his head. You know the guy is fine.
you have groin pain in a second.
Was he someone who should be naked?
No.
They never are. They never are.
All right.
No.
You know, there's some guys who, you know, they're in great physical condition. They're well gifted. Like, hey, I want people to see me naked. People, yeah. The world should see me naked.
All right, so in a high rise, yes.
Yeah.
Elderly, confused men love to be naked. They just love to be naked.
Yes, and gym locker rooms all the time, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, something exactly. About
it. Well, you lose modesty as you get older. You're like, here I am. Take
Absolutely.
It all in.
Yeah. And a lot of women do say, too, is that after they have children, they're like, I don't care who sees me naked. I don't care who sees my vagina.
Thanks, Prince Grandma.
I don't care anymore.
I now have a clip of you saying, I don't care who sees my vagina. So
I was quoting somebody.
That's going to be my ringtone.
There you go, see?
When you call me, that's what's going to play now when you call me.
Oh, no. It goes family dinners.
All right.
I want to barf again.
Go stand on the highway then.
All right. Love you.
Love you, honey. Bye.
All right, bye. Dave Russell, former New York City Fire Department, on the show now. We have him on usually around 9/11, so this is nice that it's different. How are you?
Good. Good morning, guys. How
morning.
Are you?
Hey. Good morning.
I wanted to ask you about some of the calls you went on, because young Chaz is going to be out there working the ambulance in New York City. What's it like?
Well, I would like to say that we call it New York, because it's so screwed up. You got to say it twice.
Gotcha. So, that impressive.
Yeah.
Yes, it's well. And then I talked to Chief Tom a little while ago because it's good to hear him. And there's so many things, but you also have to make sure what's good for radio. One of the first ones I had when I was in the Air Force was at Langley Air Force Base. They had a boat dock down there, and the father and son were going to go snorkeling. And as the father gets into the boat, they had a spear gun, and it went off on right into the kid's leg.
Oh.
Right through the leg. Well, this is like 1977, so the medical is not that up to what it is today.
Right.
So, I don't know. We actually get called to the ER and base with the rescue truck. And the curtain's closed, and they're trying to explain to us what's going on while the doctor's talking to the kid. And then he comes out, and all the kid heard was something about leg and cut it off. And I was the back seat of the guy with the tool guy, and I come walking in. They open up the curtain, and I have these 36-inch bolt cutters. So the kid thinks I'm going to cut his leg off.
Right.
We had to scrape the kid off the ceiling. It was hysterical.
Come down off there.
That was pretty funny. You
maybe
know,
a big toe with that, but not my leg.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're good.
Time,
that's funny. What do you do if you're the dad? What do you? You got to tell yourself, hey, we got to make up a story for mom because she's going to kill me.
Right. Do you mount the kid in a plaque later or what?
Right.
Oh yeah, he's gonna probably get beaten like a seal pup because you know he's definitely screwed up. And I don't know, there's so many, but I remember this, it was like 86, I was out of the military, I was an EMT, and I was in Bushwick before it was renamed East Williamsburg by the new elite, and when the guy bangs on the door, we get a verbal, and usually when they bang on the door in that neighborhood, usually it's a fire, but they find out that there's a guy having an epileptic seizure, and right on the street, right in front of the firehouse on Knickerbocker Avenue. So the guy comes up. He says, you got to help my friend. This is all crackheads. We were right in Crack Central in the 80s. And he goes, what's going on? And you look out, and there's this guy. You know, we said looked like he was breakdancing in the street, but he's having a grand mal seizure.
Oh,
and his crackhead
like
buddy.
All right. This is a different time.
Using the old wives' story of use a spoon to hold the guy's tongue down.
Oh,
boy. Well, the guy used like a 20-gauge spoon that you could dig a canal with, and it was vertical, and when he bit down, it shattered all his teeth.
Oh.
And It cut the front of his gums of his teeth up into the roof line of his mouth.
No!
So he's got blood all over the place. I'm trying to hold this guy, and I'm tilting him over to the side so he won't, you know, choke on his own blood.
Right.
Or and my teeth. Lieutenant, who was a tunnel rat in Vietnam, who doesn't, nothing bothers him, I hear him talking to his crackhead buddy, and he's like, I'm holding him, and the other guys are trying to help me. And he goes, I just remember, I swear to God, if you saw this on television, you'd say it never happened. But he goes, is this your buddy? Yeah, man, that's my buddy. He, you know, and he goes, is he an epileptic? And he goes, oh, no, sir, he's Episcopalian. I swear to God.
No, he used to be epileptic, but he switched. He converted.
Yeah.
His family still is, though.
I thought that spoon was going to cut him, cut his tongue in.
Oh, it shredded him.
Right in half like a snake.
It's like he wear, like they might as well put a bear trap in there.
Oh, my God.
In that same neighborhood, one day, we get a port of an unconscious. And this is ghetto EMS. We weren't in the 80s. We were not doing EMS like we are. No, the fire department's not. The FDNY is doing now.
Yeah.
What do you mean ghetto?
We were ill prepared. I mean, we had basically a small suitcase. First aid kit.
Like on the 70s emergency show.
Yeah, the makeup kit.
Oh, no. They were well prepared more than us.
Oh, really?
You know, ghetto EMS.
All right, you weren't driving the Cadillac ambulances, right?
No. We didn't have the Ghostbusters buses back then, but, you know. So, like, our first aid kit would be like a suitcase you'd open up, and there'd be like 4,000 yellow 4x4s. Well, two C collars, one that you couldn't put around your ankle, and the other one was like you could wrap an elephant with, you know, so we had nothing. And so we get a report of an unconscious, and I'm going down the alleyway, and this is back when everything was rubbish strewn and crawling, and there's a white guy laying on his back, face up. And his head is laid open. Basically, it was all coagulated. It looked like somebody dumped a bucket of livers around his head.
Oh.
And then there's this black guy in a robe, just a bathrobe, screaming at him. I told him not to touch my stuff. I told him.
Oh.
He had beamed him from the second floor fire escape with a small TV set.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
What's on TV? My head.
Right. That was a great shot. Something Eli Manning probably couldn't even do for the Giants, but that's another story. And so, you know, you probably haven't had it, but when you basically look at somebody and you say they're dead, so as I get closer, I'm looking at this guy. His eyes open. He sits straight up.
Oh, hey.
I jumped about 5 feet back because I thought this guy was dead. I almost put mud in my underwear because I was like, what? You know, when you think somebody's dead and they pop up, it's completely, awesome, scary. I don't know.
Did he live?
They put him in a bus, and that's back in the days. We didn't follow him, but they sent him to Wyckoff Hospital, so I'm sure he probably died, because back then I wouldn't send my dog to Wyckoff Hospital.
No, he's ahead of TV. He's ahead of TV
You'd
now.
You'd be better off going to Bangladesh and seeing Dr. Vinegar Boots over there, you know?
Hey, look who woke up.
Hey.
Hello.
Young Chaz.
Hello.
Hey, it sounds
wild.
Hello.
I woke up at 7, and then I was like, I got 30 minutes.
Oops.
There you go, see?
I should have realized 7:30 to someone who skateboards is 7:40, 8 o'clock.
Right. The vicinity.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. So welcome to the show.
So I'm on time.
You're on time.
Welcome to Tuesday.
I did it.
Right. So you work for AMR. You're an EMT, and you are heading to New York City.
Yeah, within the next 72 hours, I will be deployed to New York City.
How long will you be there?
Between 15 to 30 days. It'll be a two-week deployment, and then if I want to keep adding on, I can.
Wow.
See?
Are you nervous?
Nope.
Wow, that's good.
Good attitude.
Yeah.
I'm not a military person, as in, like, I won't join the military, but this will be the closest I can serve my country and help out during this pandemic. So I'm not nervous at all, and this is something I have to do.
It's more of a calling.
Right.
Yeah.
Tom G was saying you're going to see some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's the job. So... it's the job. I mean, I probably will, but, this is this is what I have to do to help out. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and you won't be working COVID stuff. You'll be doing 911 and transfers. So some of the 911s might be COVID, or you might come in contact with it.
Yeah.
But the 911s in New York, I think could be, it could be anything. Who knows?
Interesting.
Right.
Hold on. I'm going to conference in Dave Russell. Hey, Dave.
Good morning.
Hey, morning again.
You're conferenced in with Young Chaz. Any advice you want to give him?
Well, just remember that being on time is late, my friend. So get there early all the time.
Yeah.
And even though you say you're not a military guy, you better get used to taking orders by people who know, because if you think you're going to do it your own way, you can end up in some serious kimchi. So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. But it depends how long you do it. I wish I had done this. I wrote some stuff down, but some of the stuff you're going to see, it's going to be pretty sad or funny, but write it down, because when you get my age, there's so much stuff that blurs together.
Right. You want to have everything a movie down. Or a book. Yes, of course.
Funny.
No, I'm not looking to write it, you know, because it's hysterical, because when I was working, like anything unusual usually happened when I was working, when I was a boss. So you name it, from trains and planes to, dead guy people. It's just amazing stuff that you'll see.
I'll ask this to both of you.
Do you know where you're going?
I'll start with Chaz. That's a good question, Dave. But I wanted to ask this question first. Young Chaz, have you ever seen a strange person's or a stranger's penis?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to art school.
Yeah. You would think that teacher would stop doing that.
I should have said there you go. EMT.
Right.
Yeah. All right. This is not new to you.
You didn't specify. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right.
Here's the shocking news. I was the male model.
I knew it.
That's why it's sort of fun.
Dave, have you ever had to work with someone who had their penis stuck in something?
Well, we had a guy back in Brooklyn where he had shot somebody right down by the firehouse, and the cops were chasing him, and as he was trying to get through a chain-link fence into the basketball court, he had it in his waistband, and the .357 went off and blew it clear off.
Really?
Oh,
finding the ground,
unlike
Monty
Python, it was not a mere flesh wound.
Right.
Ooh. So, you know, we got him real quick, and it was right up the street. We heard it go off, and then people screaming, and a lot of people were applauding because they were happy because this guy, karma back a degree. But EMS grabbed him, and off to Wyckoff he went again. So we probably never saw him again. But yep. That you heard it, and then you heard screaming immediately. So yeah, that was just a normal tour,
Yeah, Young Chaz, Dave asked a good question. Do you know where you're going?
I believe Manhattan.
Okay. So, I mean, it's huge. You got major hospitals there. We got more people in a couple of high rises than most towns have in their entire population. So, you're going to see it, wear your gear, and you're going to be commuting every day, or you got to stay down there?
We'll be staying down there. We'll be staying right outside LaGuardia.
Oh, in Queens.
Yep.
All right.
You're probably.
Well, let me know
where
you are in LaGuardia. We'll exchange information. So I
yeah,
might
Dave,
be able
do you mind
some...
if I send you Young Chaz's cell phone?
Absolutely not.
Okay, and then Young Chaz, you have any questions at all? Call Dave. Call Tom.
Yeah.
And then call me. Call those guys first if there's a situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you'll be working with, I'm probably under an FDNY battalion. I forget now, this is all new because I've been out for a while. But, I mean, this whole, the whole world's upside down right now. The new norm is completely out of whack.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I was listening to you guys before, 9/11, we had combat air patrols overhead. So today the air show is more of a feel-good thing, which is awesome.
Yeah. Dave, thanks for everything you've done for us, for the fire department, and for coming on. Thank you, brother.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Good luck, Chaz. And like I said, he'll give you my number, and definitely, feel free to call me. And then when you're in Queens, let me know, because I'm still at LaGuardia, so we might be able to figure something out.
You'll have that beer with Young Chaz before we have beer together.
Don't threaten me with a good time. All right?
Dave, thank you, my brother. Love you, man.
All right, guys, be safe. Right. Chaz, young Chaz, be safe, dude.
Thank you.
All right. Dave Russell, former fire department, New York. All right, so it sounds like you're ready. Well, you got to keep me posted. I'll call you after the show here.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the green light. I'm all packed and ready to go.
Yeah. So. Well, what do you pack for something like this?
Clothes and a laptop.
Underwear,
that's about it.
Socks.
Toothbrush.
You're not a big underwear or sock person. You don't buy them for yourself. We have to buy them for you. You bring in any of
that's
your...
That's not true.
I shop all the time.
I just want to say, you know, I'm a little nervous, of course, but I'm very, very proud of you.
Thank you. So,
all right, keep us posted. We want updates. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right, love you.
Jazz and AJ News.
Masks for a CT going on right now at the Xfinity Theater in Hartford. Going to go till 1 o'clock or they run out of masks. 50,000 free masks will be handed out. You don't have to get out of your car. A mask volunteer will bring it right to your car. 5 masks per person per car. The car started lining up around 4:15 this morning. We were going to start at 7. They had to start it at 6:15 because the lines were just overwhelming. And they're still long, right, Ashley?
Very long. Very, very long.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks to Bob and Amy Stefanowski. They started this whole thing. The Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven, Pratt & Whitney United Concrete donated money. Hartford Police donated time. Last Parking donated time. Live Nation donated the place and volunteers. Channel 3, they're big time. We love our association with them. And, of course, Connoisseur Media. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Sarge is on the air now. Were you just there?
I was there at 7 o'clock, and I was out by just before 7:30. So
that's great.
It's running very well, very quick. Half an hour, I was in and out.
Wow. What are you going to use your mask for? You or family?
Well, I'm
or...
a little high. No, for myself. I'm a little high risk. I was diagnosed with leukemia about 10 months ago, so I kind of need this for myself now.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Sarge, kick its ass.
Yeah. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But they're doing a wonderful job over there, and you're not just getting 5 masks. They're also giving you a little bottle of hand sanitizer.
Ooh,
that's the care package. Yeah.
See, unlike AJ,
they're really doing a nice job.
I have a small bottle of hand sanitizer. It's lasted me 7 weeks.
Right.
AJ's got a tub. He goes through it in like 2 days.
I mean, every few minutes, I'm like sanitizing myself. Because you know what it is? Because I tell you, don't touch your face.
Are you bringing your own?
I have my own. I have some in my truck, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because the station would go
broke. AJ would go through this bottle in 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, I'm bringing my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Sarge.
But, I just want to thank everybody involved in the project. As everybody that's there, we all appreciate it. We just thank you so much.
There's amazing stories coming out of that. Yeah, folks who are going there for family also, members who are at risk. I'm sorry, Sarge, go ahead.
Yeah, and also thank your son, Chaz, for what he's doing down in New York.
I was thinking the
same
thing.
I know that my brothers and sisters in the fire department and the police department, they could all use the help, and thank him so much for that.
I will. I'm very proud of him, but, you know, my stomach flips, too, when I think about it, so... But thank you. I'll pass that on to him.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sarge.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
You too, man. Feel better.
All right. So last night there was a Connecticut Liberty rally, and I think they were protesting the governor's overreach and actions during this whole pandemic. And Dan Reel, the chair of the Libertarian Party, is on now. So, Dan, what's your beef?
Well, basically, the primary beef is we have made a multi-trillion dollar national mistake, and we have essentially had a governor that's so far excessively overreached, wildly out of proportion to what the data actually tells us going on.
Okay. Well, do you think that people are really getting sick and people are really dying?
We do know that this,
can you talk
disease,
into, I'm sorry, Dan, can you talk into the mouthpiece?
Sure. We absolutely do know this disease takes two types of people. One are people that are pretty much, you know, in their 70s to 80s and on their way out. usually in nursing homes or hospitals.
Wow. That means they're worthless, right?
Wow. 70s or 80s.
No, we're not saying that they're worthless.
I mean, your tone was awful right there.
Wow. That was...
Look, so you someone guys can talk over people, and if that's what you want to do, we can end the interview. But if you want to know the other viewpoint, I'm happy to continue.
Okay. So
well, if you
I
want
just,
to kill 70 and 80-year-olds, why don't you do it yourself?
No, so you're anyone, not going to do that. So, I'm not going to let you get away with that.
So someone who served in Vietnam or World War II or Korean War, Iraq, or, well, Iraq may probably not in their 70s, but anyone who's like served this country and elderly, screw them.
No, we are absolutely not saying that at all. What we are saying is we have done so much damage, which is actually impairing a lot of those people, believe it or not, you know, who have healthcare decisions. We have terrified people away from healthcare. We've shut down hospital resources. The hospitals are now actually underwhelmed in a lot of parts of the state. So, believe it or not, what we've done is I live in Plainfield. Just to put this in perspective, after the economic damage alone is done, I will probably, let's just say I get to a car accident, the nearest hospital I'd be able to go into is Providence or Hartford or Worcester. So basically, due to this overreach and the amount of, like, you know, what Ned Lamont has done to the tax revenues alone, he's going to crater the ability to pay for Medicaid. Now, we can sit here and say, you know, you guys don't care about certain people. Well, what we're saying is not only do we, but we actually see the damage this is doing. And quite frankly, it's not going to matter if, you know, the vulnerable have an EBT card if there's no, like, steak or pork or chicken on the shelves to buy. And you've probably seen the supply chain dislocations going on right now. Now, I mean, that sort of stuff should really concern you, not the least of which, you know, should also concern you that Ned Lamont has suspended the right to speedy trial. He suspended statutes of limitations. And just to put in perspective, if any of you out there have kids, according to these executive orders right now, visitation has been limited, and if they take your kid, your right to trial has probably been delayed till July, possibly later, depending on how long we're still afraid.
Okay, so we did let you speak for some time now, and you do, I'm sure you sound like a smart guy, so I know you realize that the reason why we asked people to stay home and shut down a lot of things was so the hospitals wouldn't get overwhelmed with cases. And if you talk to anyone...
for 15 days.
So it wouldn't spread.
They said 15 days, it's going to spread anyway. It's not a matter of when, it's a matter of if.
Yes.
And we said, fine. And so the goalpost kept getting moved.
Well, because they're at the mercy as well.
The lines kept going up, right? So we're just seeing a flattening of it now, the flattening of the cases.
It's starting to work.
Well, the testing methodology got changed, and they're not being clean about the numbers, because if they were, they wouldn't be promoting everything where they just test somebody at the time of death as a COVID-19 test. And the state of Connecticut tells you that themselves. For example, according to that method, I'm calling a piano and I test positive for the virus.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
At the time of death, they're gonna call it a COVID-19 death. And here's the other
thing. No, they call it COVID-19 related.
Associated death.
I disagree. I agree with you on this point.
The governor from saying, hey, it's a COVID-19 death outright.
But what difference does that make when, you know, we're trying to stay home, we're trying not to get it so we don't overwhelm the emergency room staff?
It makes a huge difference. It makes an absolutely huge difference.
What difference does it make?
The difference it makes is we've scared people so senseless that cancer patients aren't getting treated, that we've delayed and deferred elective surgeries, that those conditions are going to lead to required surgeries eventually. It makes a difference to diabetics. It makes a difference to, you know, people who are on dialysis. It makes a, I mean, I could go on and on. And by the way, all those specialists treating those things that aren't COVID-19, they're getting laid off now. You know, I mean, so the longer we're afraid and we pretend that nothing bad can ever happen to anybody,
doesn't it,
the more bad things are going to happen.
Do you see that it looks like we're a week or two out from being able to go out and start opening businesses? Would you want people to go out right now and risk going through all of this again?
We're so close.
It sounds like your theory is let it rip.
And what Sweden tells you is that we are already ready to open up now because Sweden didn't take nearly this amount of measures.
They hadn't let it rip.
Go to Sweden.
Right, and they managed not to do nearly such damage. And by the way, adjusted for population, they're statistically at the same result adjusted for the number and level of population. You know, so Governor Lamont and Cuomo and even Trump, they can't explain the Diamond Princess. They can't explain Sweden. And, you know, the more of this we do, the harder it is they're going to, you know, have to justify what it is they've caused.
Well, there's a couple of things at work now. Sweden's a different country than us, so they pay attention. They listen, right? You saw what kids were doing during spring break. I mean, if we don't tell people how they have to act, they're just going to go out and they're going to spring break and they're going to be at the parks and they're going to be all over each other.
Make it worse.
Yeah.
And that's not true at all. I mean, we've already known that, like, you know, for years just with the flu. I mean, most of us exercise common sense. We know, hey, I've been around someone that had the flu. I have the flu. I'm not going to go visit mom in the nursing home. You know, it, by the way, nursing homes and hospitals kill 100,000 people per year for, you know, secondary infections. When have we ever shut down the economy over that? By the way, it's still going to be the same this year. It's going to be worse than COVID-19. The data already tell us that. 600,000+ die of heart attacks every year. Smoking, I mean, that kills over 500,000 people. Do you see Ned Lamont shutting down all the tobacco shops?
Yeah, but if I'm a smoker and you come in contact with me, it's not possible that you're going to immediately get it and die if you have asthma, right?
Well, here's the thing. We all have a right, and long-standing law is there is a right to not be quarantined and under house arrest if you're not sick.
All right, let me ask you this. If you had your way, what would happen right now?
If I had my way right now, what would happen is the state would open up, but businesses and individuals would make the call. I mean, if they want to open up an establishment and have people 6 feet away, fine, they can do that. That's within their right.
What if they didn't want to have 6 feet away? What if one of the concert venues wanted to have concerts with thousands of people, no social distancing? You'd be okay with that?
Well, it would be their right. And if you didn't want to go to the concert, that's completely up to you.
Right. I might not go to the concert, but I might walk in a park and get it from someone who was at the concert, no?
Right.
Well, 30 feet away from anybody. This is the thing. We're so scared stupid that we're narking on people for walking their dog.
Mm.
And by the way, the 7,000 people that die every day in America of things not COVID-19, what are we doing to them? We're denying them that last day on earth of walking in the park and seeing their loved ones and all that. I mean, we are savages right now.
All right, I disagree with you because I've been here talking to healthcare people who have been working the emergency rooms, and they've seen a lot of death from this. And
they're not lying.
They're not making up those numbers.
No, nope, and it's a horrible way to go, and I'll be the first to tell you that. But the one thing that we really need to be honest about is what's happening. Let's just not say COVID-19 associated more. Let's strip away the heart attacks. Let's strip away everybody except those that die of pneumonia. And then let's take a cost-benefit analysis approach to this. Like, you know, remember they were screaming about ventilators.
I wouldn't take IHME a cost-benefit analysis on my grandmother or someone
I will tell you this about a cost-benefit analysis. That concerns me because when you do something extreme and it doesn't change the outcome in the patient, that's where you have to go. We're shortchanging other patients.
No, but this would change.
We knew this with the ventilators.
All right. Listen, we're not going to move the ball an inch in either direction here, but I did want to give you an opportunity to talk. And I do think that there is a voice getting louder and louder in the state. People are ready to go out and get things done.
Yes, there is, yes.
I think there's a balance between all of this. And, you know, as long as I keep talking to doctors and nurses who are working that front line and the widow that we talked to yesterday who lost her 30-year-old husband, I'm going to feel like it's okay if we take a little bit more time. But, Dan,
But we can't do this on the fields. And at some point, we got to go with people. And there are doctors that strongly disagree. You know, and there's about 3,000 doctors right now that have signed a petition to fire Dr. Fauci. But that's another matter.
Yeah. All right. Look, I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Masks for CT going on right now at Xfinity. Free masks while they last. 50,000 masks will be given out. More information on the radio station website. Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
Morning.
Good. I'm in a bad mood right now.
I had a question because I missed a little bit of what he said. Did that gentleman say he had anyone, like family members, affected, you know, by COVID-19?
Nope. He didn't say it, no.
It didn't sound like it.
No.
Cause it did.
Because it seemed very blatantly obvious that he was not affected by it at all.
Yep.
He said the business sense going on.
I had a lot of the same viewpoints he did until a couple weeks ago. My great aunt passed away from COVID-19 in a nursing home in Stratford. So, I mean, I understand why you would want to have people to have that choice, but if people are passing away and there's no way to really control it, I'm sorry. There's the life has to take precedence over business. I'm sorry.
I don't mind.
There's no other way around it.
I don't mind the place he comes from, and that is don't trust politicians.
Right.
Because you can't. Right? And he also is coming from a position where he knows that they will use, both parties will use this crisis to push their agenda forward, and we're going to get screwed. We always do. No matter what happens, we're going to get screwed.
Prepare
all right,
for
so
it,
you wake up, you open your eyes, you say, yeah, I'm going to get screwed.
Just prepare for it, yeah.
Right?
have a cigarette handy.
All this help that's going on, who's going to pay for it? It's going to be the
worker.
Right.
Oh, it's
all right. So we're all going to get screwed.
We're getting the bill, yeah.
But with that said, it's okay if we take 7, 8, 10 weeks to try to save some lives. It's okay.
Yeah, someone brought up a good point on Facebook about the fact that what could happen is we could turn around and, like, go back to our normal lives. This happens again around the holidays, and then you're going to miss all the holidays.
Yeah. I mean,
look,
if you look at 100 years ago and you look at other countries just months ago, they have the big spike. They did the right things. The spike went down. They're like, hey, we're done.
Yep.
And they all went back out, and then the spike went back up, and it was worse the second time around.
Exactly.
So if we can wait a couple weeks, wouldn't that be better and easier than, like, going out and then having – what will that do to the economy
if we
have to all go back in?
Part two? Forget about it.
Yeah.
Horrible. I can't even imagine if this is seasonal, what will happen then?
Well, hopefully they'll have a vaccine by then.
Yeah. The other thing with this is I do agree with him that there should at least be a plan, and it feels like we're dragging our feet. May 20th, we're going to look at the plan or start thinking about the plan.
Now have a plan now.
Have the plan now.
We're going to unrail it, yeah.
Right.
Right. But
don't we all know that school's not getting back in?
It's not happening.
Do we have to wait till May 20th to tell parents?
For what?
Make plans?
For 3 weeks?
Just tell us now.
Yeah, no
we
school.
Know.
Right.
We all know. No miracle's going to happen where they say, hey, guess what? Coronavirus packed its bags and left.
Yay!
It went on a cruise ship. It went bye-bye. Bought a Hawaiian shirt and a camera,
it's
gone.
Yep, had a lay around his neck and everything.
I mean,
we all know it's not going away.
No.
Close the freaking schools.
Yeah, don't even bother.
Tell the parents with the sports, and they don't know. Do I buy this? Do I prep this?
Save you money.
Just do it. Just cancel it. Okay? We all know.
So loud.
I mean, what he said, how it takes two kinds of people. What about that gym owner you guys talked about not that long ago? He wasn't in either one of those groups.
Who's that now?
The personal trainer was 30 years old. That guy who passed away, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
I feel like there was... He was a fit, healthy person.
Very fit.
Yeah, he didn't know that he had an underlying condition, which I think he did. I think his blood or his immune system overworked.
Right.
Right?
Oh,
so
okay.
That sounds
still,
like an underlying condition. I don't know.
But you wouldn't
know.
Think if 30 years old, your personal trainer, you're having a condition.
Yeah.
So we don't know who it's going to hit. We don't know who it's going to
affect. Look, we're getting antsy. I had a back and forth with someone that I did an AJ on them. They were on a Facebook page. And we ask on the Facebook page, what should AJ do to raise money for masks, right? He's
going
to do something for 24 hours.
Right.
And, of course, people can't just comment on this.
No, of course
it has
not.
To become this big dispute. And it's like, oh, I don't listen to them anymore. Okay, fine. Well, then don't be on the Facebook page.
Yeah, move on then, yeah.
Right. You're part of the family. We can easily move on from you. Do we want to? No. But if you're not happy, if you can't accept us for the way
we are. Go find your happiness, yes.
Go find your happiness. Exactly. We don't want to chain you here.
Right.
So I type, I'm sorry that a 100-year pandemic 7 weeks in has bored you. Right?
Yeah.
We're 7 weeks into a 100-year event. Get a freaking grip. And then the back and forth starts. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do an AJ. Goodbye, little boy.
Oh, you nuked him.
Oh,
I nuked him.
So good.
Nice.
Done.
Doesn't that feel good?
You're not supposed to, according to, like, whatever, the internet. You're not supposed to nuke people who have those opinions. But if you're too negative, just don't be part of this party.
Exactly.
It's like you're having a party. Everyone's having a good time. And then a jerk shows up. And you're like, you know what? You got to go. Because we're having a good time. And now you're a jerk. You got to go.
That's why
goodbye.
Bouncers. Yep, yeah, exactly.
I forget which guest we were talking to, but it's that instant gratification that we are all seeking, right? With the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the answer to this question? It's there in a second.
Yeah.
That's why diets don't
patience.
Work. This was their whole point.
Right.
This is why people are frustrated right now.
That's
We're
right.
used to things being immediate. Immediate. You order something online, it is there the end of that day.
Well,
it's
guess
there
what?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not going to work that way.
Yeah, no.
Now, his argument is we're shutting all this stuff down. Look at the numbers. Really not that dramatic. There are other things that kill people. Why are we shutting everything down?
It's
for
a precautionary
this.
Move.
Let it rip. You got to talk to healthcare people.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They were over the whole reason we did this so the hospitals wouldn't get a surge and collapse and there'd be 70, 65, 57-year-old, 30-year-old people at home dying.
Have Dan tail
body
up.
Stacking up.
Yeah, Dr. Clark, have him tail for a day. Shout him for a day.
Yeah. But we wanted to have him on because it takes, everyone's invited here.
Exactly. You want to hear the other side.
The longer this goes on.
They're entitled to their opinion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with it.
Right. I think
that. Well, he doesn't seem to understand that his decision affects other people. It's contagious.
Exactly.
You don't. It's not just your decision. You're affecting everybody around you.
Yeah. I think the governor can help himself, though, but thank you, man. Less network appearances and more like, hey, we are putting together a plan, not we'll think about a plan in 2 weeks.
Have a plan ready.
Yeah. You think I have anger issues?
You want to really answer? I'm afraid you'll yell at me.
I just went nuts on the air.
No.
It's funny. I have an outer body experience when that starts happening. Like, I could hear myself yelling.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, wow, that person's really loud.
I stopped yelling, but I can't tell myself that right now because I'll yell at myself.
Sometimes I wish I could carbon copy you, like, 10 minutes into the future and just have that Chaz sitting in front of the angry Chaz.
Right.
Because it would be...
So I could see it.
Right.
Because 10 minutes in the future, Chaz would be laughing at past Chaz, and then it would just feed into the anger of current Chaz.
Oh my God, that sounds like a bit.
Can we like film you on the Chaz and AJ TV so you can replay you back so you can see what you did?
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to see it. But yeah, it would be an experience. I think that would probably dial me down a little bit.
Right.
It could be a bit on the air. We get someone in here to try to. Well, first they do like the stress test, right? Like when you have a heart condition, what do? They put you on a treadmill and try to give you a freaking heart attack.
They shoot that fluid through you. Yeah,
run, monkey, run.
I did it all the time, yeah.
Run, monkey.
Right.
Yeah, like, all right, let's, you have a heart condition, let's give you a heart attack.
Exactly, right.
Let's test that out.
This treadmill at 40 miles an hour.
Maybe we could do that at some point.
There you go, see? It's right here in the studio.
All right, here's someone who's always mellow. I don't think I've ever seen her mad. Tammy Jackson, Executive Director of Literacy Volunteers, Southern Connecticut, on to talk about something the Devon Rotary Club's doing.
What'd you do now?
Morning.
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 Didn't you and Totter do something? Where did you get the rainbow thing from?
Right. That's
the code word.
I was receiving rainbow from my house. When you start getting upset, when you say rainbow, you got to just stop talking.
Really?
It's a time to go to your corners. It's when he and his daughter used to argue. And so when they would start getting it out of control, I said, we've got to come up with a word. And so rainbow was a get back to your corners and regroup, and you're not allowed to talk to
Fake
each
word.
Other. Calm down.
That's the bell ringing at the end of the boxing the round.
Why not just yell up yours? That works. Up
rainbow!
Yours!
Rainbow!
Just yell up yours! Up
rainbow!
Yours!
Rainbow!
Rainbow. AJ used to use that. We'd start getting on him,
yep.
And then he would just yell, rainbow!
Right.
really angrily. Like,
bring that back.
That lasted until it didn't work, which was like a day.
The rainbow folks complained. Yeah. Yes, they did. They said, stop that.
It started, he would say rainbow. We're like, ooh, he's about to lose it. And then we'd push hard.
Yeah. They didn't know the meaning rainbow meant stop.
There have been times he screamed, rainbow, 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 rainbow.
Yep. And folks look at the sky going, where?
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'll use that rainbow.
I think up yours works. Up yours!
No, that's not a good word.
No.
Or words. So what are you guys doing, Tam?
Yeah, so I'm a member of Devon Rotary, and we're part of District 7980, and the Rotary Foundation this year has put out some funds for our clubs to do some good works in preparation and to help out with COVID-19. So, you know, I just wanted to tell you some of the things that we're doing here in Milford. And, you know, for any of the listeners, there's Rotary clubs all over Connecticut. So there's over 100 clubs just in our state. So if people are looking for extra help or, you know, they have a need, they should really look into their Rotary clubs. That's kind of motto is spell the service above self. So we really want to be there to support and help our communities at this time of need.
Yeah, and if you're looking to help, you could go to the Devon Rotary Club and volunteer. So if you need help or want to give help.
Right. It's a great, I mean, Rotary International is a worldwide service organization. They focus on international relationships, try to improve lives, create a better world, and help with polio efforts. But our community in Milford, we provided some food supplies to Bethel. That's our homeless shelter here. We're providing 500 cooked meals to people that need some food support, you know, maybe people that have lost their jobs or just can't get groceries. We partnered with Bridge House and Lassie's and Troop One from the Boy Scouts. And so we've been working with the city agencies to identify, you know, who some of those families and elderly people are. We've sewn over 600 headbands with buttons on them for healthcare workers at Yale and surrounding facilities. So it helps to protect their ears from the elastics.
Can I tell you, Jennifer got one?
We're in the process of sewing masks for other local agencies. So our goal is 2,500.
Jennifer was a recipient of this gift.
Oh, and, good. I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. And she took it and she thought, I'm never going to use this. She put it in her drawer. And then after a couple of days, the band starts wearing on your ears.
It's brutal.
And she said, you know what? Let me try it. Oh, she loves it.
Oh, I'm so glad. Awesome. Good.
So you guys are doing great work. We're going to link up to Devon Rotary at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com.
Thank you, Tammy. Thanks, Chaz.
Tell Totter we said hey.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we will.
And Rainbow.
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 Rainbow. Rainbow.
We need to go to the phone line.
Joyce from Hartford.
Hey.
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 Hey. Say ho, ho, ho. Who are you calling a ho?
Yes, Dr. Ho.
Drinking early, have you?
Not you, Joyce.
No.
All right. How you guys doing? I'm sitting here in line on Western Street, and I've been listening to you. You sound great.
Thank you.
The line is moving. By the time I was put on hold to now, I've moved from McDonald's all the way down to the U.S. Post Office. So, and that's been within the past 8 minutes. As I was telling the person that picked up, I'm from Hartford.
Okay.
Hometown. Shout out to Albany Avenue, Blue Hills Avenue, all the folks trying to fight this pandemic. You know, yesterday was a crummy day. Today is beautiful. The sun is shining. I believe we're going to get through this nonsense. And I'm out here just like everybody else, trying to get masks for my family. I've been fortunate. We're at home. I've got a 97-year-old dad. So I'm on edge just like everyone else. But, you know, that's a vulnerable group, that age group. And we have people coming in the home because he needs home care services. So we've got a routine. We make sure when they come in, they're washing their hands. They have their mask on. If they have a shoe covering, that they have to put on their shoe covering. But it's a very delicate time for all families, and it's a very scary time. But I believe if we continue to practice social distancing, we do what Governor Lamont and the other healthcare folks are telling us to do, that we'll get through this and we'll get through it together. I got to shout out all the essential workers, from the grocery stores to the folks that are on the front line that are taking care of us every day, the volunteers, you know, that are out here that have taken the time to come out to give out masks. Shout out to them, and shout out to you guys. You know, what you do is, it's not easy. Just to come on air and to uplift folks and to keep them excited and to keep them encouraged. And that's
out.
What we really need right now.
Thank you. My son works the ambulance and my fiance is a nurse. So those people really do the hard work. But I have to tell you, Joyce, that, you know, you never know what you're going to get when you pick up the phone. And sometimes I pick up the phone and I'm like, why did I do that? But you're the reason why I pick up the phone, because, you know, when we get a call like yours, it's really great. And
yep.
it's worth all the calls that I say to myself, oh, I wish I didn't take that one.
Two calls ago wasn't such a story.
That's true.
You guys know. I mean, you know, it got to a point where I had to kind of turn the news off after a while because of some of the stories. And they're real stories of how this pandemic is affecting people's everyday life, particularly if you have an elderly person, or now at the time, you're so afraid if someone gets sick. Even like our dad, when he kind of took a turn, we really had to sit down as a family and decide, do we want to take him to the hospital or not? Because if we took him to the hospital, certainly they have protocol that they have to enforce, no visitors, right? And so how scary is that? Who's going to be the advocate for his care? So we really had to make some tough decisions. But we've been blessed because we have a big family. So there are certain things that we've been able to do, but not everyone can make those type decisions.
Right.
So I'm sure you've got listeners that have family in the hospital, and they're concerned. They're their advocate for their care, but it's different now. So they're entrusting someone else. And so those aren't easy things. You know, my biggest concern is, we're all going to need a mental health day after this, and that's real because it's
just
affected
one day?
Us in so many. Yeah,
Ashley, you're living the dream now.
Yeah, really.
I don't know.
Yeah, man. So, but you know what? I know this. This too shall pass, and we just got to stay encouraged. We got to practice social distancing, and at some point, you know, there might be a new normal, but we will get back to normal at some point, and we'll all get there together. And so it's time like this, and I hope you guys do another CT mask.
I hope
because
so.
You know the other thing that I wanted to mention with this pandemic. So I'm African American, right? I grew up in Hartford, right? And so no one ever wants a pandemic to come through, but here in the city, I'm fortunate enough to have a car. Okay, so I can do these drive-through things. I'm coming for family. If I got a couple of extra, I'm going to get them to friends. But a lot of folks don't own cars. You know, they're doing public transportation. So when you look at test sites that are drive-up, and certainly for safety reasons, we got to do these measures. But what if you don't have a car?
Yeah.
Right? You only got your 2 feet, or you only got a bicycle. So a lot of folks are left out of the opportunity to take advantage of this great thing that you're doing, to get 5 masks. And when I sit here, and I'm moving now, I'm almost in front of Midas.
Oh, okay, good. So you told me at the beginning of the call, you said it took you 8 minutes to get from McDonald's to the post office. How long does that normally take if you're not in line?
Oh, man, 30 seconds.
Okay, gotcha. That's a line that is moving, though.
Yeah,
that's great. So I got to go, Joyce, thank you for calling, and I'm glad you're getting some masks.
Absolutely.
And tell your dad
Tell
your dad we said hello and we were thinking of him.
Absolutely.
I will. All right. Thank you all once again for all that you do and all the best.
Joyce, you're the best.
You are.
Boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
Thank you.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. De Blasio gets heckled for unnecessary travel. Mayor Bill de Blasio and his wife were out for a stroll in the park, and you would think it'd be fine, right?
You'd think that, yes.
But he traveled 11 miles from Manhattan to Brooklyn's Prospect Park.
Go!
And, you know, he travels with an entourage, and he has a driver and a giant SUV.
The whole nine yards.
And press and security people. So they all drove 11 miles to walk in this park.
You know it's him, yep.
And someone decided to shout him down.
Seriously, you guys have a park. You live in the middle of a park. You don't need to not essentially travel to Brooklyn. Come on, you won't even open roads for people of all backgrounds. I'm not going to give it a break. Like, this is selfish behavior. This is so terribly selfish. You call yourself a progressive, but you chauffeur yourself to Brooklyn.
Can you chauffeur yourself?
He's an insurance company?
I feel like you have to have someone chauffeur you.
By definition, kind of. Yeah.
Right.
He wasn't dressed like Flo.
Right. At least. By.
Progressive.
That'd be interesting. How are you in the front of the car and the back of the car at the same time?
Right.
So I chauffeured myself to work today?
Right.
Nice. I think what he meant was you have yourself chauffeured.
Yes. Exactly.
You misspoke.
You drove yourself.
I normally hate these people. I like this person.
Yeah. Well, De Blasio, jerk.
Well, De Blasio preaches to us about these things.
And
he was called out for doing what he tells us not to do.
Exactly.
You force people to drive you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, please.
Now a press person or one of his staff's trying to run interference, try to walk in front of him.
And like at a slower pace.
Slower.
Yep.
Slow it down.
Saying thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
For what?
This is like in the NBA when you go for a rebound, you got to box him out.
That's right. This is what this person is.
That's exactly what
this is. The shortest rebounder.
This is the Dennis Rodman of the staff.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
Is he out of breath?
Apparently so, yes.
From walking. Someone is.
But he smoked a cigarette at the same time.
He yelled himself out of breath.
He did, yeah.
That, I don't know what he was doing in the park to begin with.
Maybe he was jogging.
Maybe. Maybe.
Like, this is the epitome of non-essential travel.
Epitome, big word.
I thought so, too.
It was epitome.
Right here. You're getting. You're too close to me to be socially distant.
Well, who's close to who here?
This guy's
come on,
calling everyone out.
I love this guy.
Yeah, I normally don't.
Right,
I do here.
He's working it.
Yeah, he's working it.
Working it. Ow! I love my elbow.
You're a little too into it, huh?
That's dumbass news.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.